Hi, friends.
Question.
Have you ever met someone and just immediately clicked? Like you knew in the first 3 to 5 minutes that this was going to be a really special relationship? Well, that was my experience when I met the one and only Haley Wilson, aka the fairy godmother of AI. Haley's journey began in corporate America, specializing in crisis communication across sectors like tech, finance, and biotech. Her knack for breaking down complex concepts into digestible bits led her to leap into entrepreneurship. Her career took a pivotal turn during the AI Renaissance when she saw an opportunity to bridge the gap between businesses seeking AI integration and fellow entrepreneurs. Her expertise in communication, marketing, and entrepreneurship, coupled with her drive to demystify AI, drove her to create AI Impact, an event, a community, a platform where ideas are shared, tested, and developed, all in the quest for making AI more accessible and beneficial for all. Now, before we jump in, Haley and I do talk about some pretty heavy topics like grief. So if you or someone you know is experiencing grief, please do not suffer in silence. Explore the resources linked in the show notes or reach out for help. Okay, grab your cup of coffee or drink of choice and buckle in because you are in for a treat. Here is our conversation with Haley Wilson. Hi, friend, and welcome to Courage in the Calling. I'm your host, Taylor Morgan, a 30-something mom quickly approaching 40 with 2 decades of experience in the financial industry who found herself at a crossroads and made the decision to step away from my comfortable corporate life in search of something more aligned and fulfilling. I'm here to share conversations with brave souls who, like me, took the leap into the unknown. We'll dive deep into their journeys, discussing the whys and hows of following their callings. Whether you are contemplating a major life change or have already drawn your line in the sand, this is a space for you. From unexpected twists to valuable lessons and practical advice, we'll explore the realities of transitioning careers and lives. If you've ever felt that inner calling but hesitated to answer, or if you're currently navigating a big, scary decision, consider this podcast your sanctuary, a place to find inspiration, guidance, and a community of kindred spirits who've walked that path. Courage in the Calling is not just a title. It's a mantra for anyone daring to redefine their path and embrace the unknown. So lean in and hit that subscribe button because here you've found your people. If you're ready to embrace the courage it takes to follow your calling, you're in the right place. Welcome to Courage in the Calling. I'm so glad you're here. So, of course, Haley here on Courage in the Calling, we share stories of brave individuals who have gone through significant career or life transitions. So, if you could, sharing, of course, what you're comfortable sharing, if you can take us to a time in your life where you have gone through a significant, whether that be a career change or life transition, and share that with us, what was that like for you? What did that look like? What were you going through? Can you walk us through that?
I feel like my life has been a series of transitions, and that's the reality. The thing that sticks out in my head would obviously be I've made a big career change recently within the last few years, and I've gone from 15 years in corporate America and dealing with executives and communications and doing crisis mainly. And now I'm doing AI and I'm training businesses and individuals on how they can use AI to empower their businesses and their lives. And I love it. There are similarities to what I used to do where I talked a lot about very technical things, whether it was financial services or biotech or nuclear energy. So things that were technical and sometimes a little scary. So being able to go into that work into this from that has been really, really great. I've been able to really hold on to those skills because a lot of this is emotional. I would say I'm more of an emotional worker than anything. Communications is such an emotional thing to do. especially when you're talking about new technology, new tools, things that will have profound impact to people's lives, which AI is. It's just right around the corner going to start having some very significant impacts on our society and how we work, how we communicate with each other. It was a big transition. It was one that took me across the continent. I was originally in San Diego, spent the last 5 years there, and moved back to Charlotte in 2022. And what kind of preceded that was a very difficult divorce. My husband had defrauded me out of $120,000. I found out of about 26 credit cards that he had signed up for me in my name and no idea. My credit score was like 400, 420 back in the pandemic when I found out about all of this. And then about 6 months later, after all of that transpired, my dad had heart failure. And all of this happened when I was in San Diego, in the middle of reeling with the rest of the world from pandemic.
Yeah.
My boss at the time, the best thing she could offer me in terms of support was when I told her what had happened, that I was going through this marital issue and that I needed a little time away from work. She said, "Oh, I've known so many women who have ruined their careers over divorces."
Oh, wow.
That was the best thing she could offer me. And so, you know, if you're listening to this and there's someone in your life going through a divorce, maybe, you know, like, don't put extra stress and pressure, because really when you're going through a divorce, as you've known, there is a moment where you feel like the rug has been pulled out from under you.
Yeah.
So I went through a tremendous amount of personal and professional transformation. And I'm so grateful for that journey. It's been a wild story. I'm still on it, still on the journey. My credit score is like way better. It's like,
you go, girl.
It's close. And have my own business, working on several books, have a great network. My dad's doing better, and I've relocated in Charlotte. I miss San Diego, though. Like, I don't miss San Diego, but that's okay.
Really? Okay. Okay. We'll dig into that a little later, because I don't know many people who can move out of there and say, yeah, I really miss it. Is it the weather?
That's a big part of it. The weather. Okay. I like the culture. San Diego's a bit more conservative compared to, like, L.A., obviously, and San Francisco. Okay. It's the kind of right amount of, you can just do whatever you want to do until you start bothering me, you know, like, swing your arms as much as you want until you hit me. And then that's when you have problems. That's very much the mentality of San Diego. A lot of that's changing. A lot of people I know are moving out because it's just too expensive to live there. And, you know, if it wasn't for the expense, one, and my family being here, it would be a difficult choice between Charlotte and San Diego. But as it is, I'm here in Charlotte, and that's where the road has led me, and I'm excited. I've always had ideas in my head of where my life was going to go, and then God comes around and says, "Well, that was fun. That was a
You're
cool
so
idea.
Cute. Yeah, oh, that's so cute. Yeah.
It's like, plot twist. You didn't see that one coming. And, you know, I think I am the best proof that God has a sense of humor. I really believe it. I'm here solely for his sense of humor. He's having a great time. I try to make the show as good as possible for him. It's working out for me, though. You know? It's important.
It is so important that we can laugh, I think, at our circumstances and also laugh at ourselves. We cannot take ourselves so seriously on that. I do think it's amazing that you can find the sense of humor and find the laughter. And I genuinely, in all seriousness, I think it's so important that we're able to have a sense of humor through. So, because someone also used to say, we're all on a rock flying through space. Like, right. In the grand scheme of things, like, this is not that big of a deal.
Exactly.
And a lot of times it's not, right? And so we do have to keep some things in perspective. So Blaine Lars gets, I do want to make sure he gets credit for that. So guy I used to work with in the corporate world. But in the grand scheme of things, yeah, when we think about how important is this, some things are truly life altering and changing. And, you know, we kind of have to roll with the punches when that comes. But sometimes they seem so, so big. And really, at the end of the day, we're not going to remember having to make this decision, right? Or the decision that we're making is going to be somewhat totally insignificant in the grand scheme. So you went through a tremendous amount of change in a very short amount of time under a great amount of pressure in what we've heard a million times. And I'm probably going to have people people are going to dislike or unlike if you could do that. I'm so glad they don't have an unlike button, by the way, in social media. I guess on YouTube, they do have a little down thumb, but unprecedented time, right? So we're all so sick of that word. But for you, I mean, this was all happening at a time where the world just looked and felt and sounded completely different than what we had all been used to. So how did you manage to continue to move forward into where you're at today? Because, I mean, that is a talk about truly remarkable story. So you have shared some of the more intimate details with me, and to know that and to understand what your situation looked like at that time in a space where you did not have a support system, right? You had very few, you know, no family really, but, you know, and your few, your network around you. But how did you manage to keep moving forward, Haley?
It's a very good question. I think for me, even though my faith has definitely changed and shaped, you know, there have been times where I wouldn't necessarily call myself a Christian, but I had some sort of spiritual relationship with God, the source, whatever, the universe, whatever you want to call it. So having a lot of investment and care about my spiritual health helped me. I also think, strangely, it all happening around the pandemic on one way was worse, because it's like, oh my God, on top of everything else, I have to deal with masks and worrying about my parents and vaccinations.
Yeah.
On the other hand, it allowed me to swoop under the radar for some of the stuff that I was emotionally going through. Mm. Not having to go into the office and deal with people every day was actually a good thing. And I truly wonder how long I would have stayed married to an abusive individual had the pandemic not happened, because it stopped me, like many people, in their tracks.
Yeah.
And caused us to take stock at what we were doing. And I, before the pandemic, I was corporate woman. I was working long hours, going in on the weekends. And that's where I got a lot of my intrinsic value, right? You know, like, I was making really good money, $160,000, living the life up in San Diego, living in a high rise. That was where my focus was. And having the pandemic, the world literally stop and say, what the hell are you doing with your life, was actually a lifesaver for me. And like, my pandemic was terrible, but also in a lot of ways life-saving. So I think having a good spiritual life, spiritual health, was a big deal. I think being aware that you're gonna feel like shit, and that's okay. Like, there are just times in life you need to just feel the shit. I mean, really, and knowing when to stop, like, there's some luxury in allowing yourself the grief. And I tend to focus more on, like, the toxic positivity stuff, because I'm, you know, happy, I'm a go-lucky person, stiff upper lip, it's not about how you feel, it's about how you look. Very, very much that was my upbringing. And so I've had to unlearn a lot of that and give myself the time to be like, no, I'm upset. This horrible thing just happened. And let yourself have that moment, but also know when it's time to get up and move on. And that's the part that's really hard, is knowing when to let yourself grieve and when to let yourself say, you know what, self, we're gonna be hard on ourselves. We need to get up. It's time. It's time to move on. Mm-hmm. And the reality is, grief is a total wave function. I do grief share with my church, and as a facilitator, because I've been through it, and I feel like I can give back a little bit in my experience. But even last Thursday when we had our first grief share of the season, it was our opening video, I cried through that whole darn thing, and it felt again. And there's just days like that. You gotta be patient with yourself. We're not. And what you keep, what you don't reason yourself into, you can't reason yourself out of. And what I mean by that, there are things that you have in your mind or things that you feel, especially when you're going through times like that, that are irrational. And you know they're irrational to feel that way. Berating yourself by going through the reasons why you shouldn't feel that way is not the way forward. Understanding the feelings, what got you to that thought, and then working your way backwards helps a lot. That was a very long-winded answer to your question.
No, that's amazing. So grief sharing for me is somewhat of a new concept. So for those, I think what you just said, I hope that our listeners will go back and replay that piece. If they don't listen to anything else in this podcast, I hope they replay what you just said about being patient with yourself and allowing yourself the time that you feel necessary to grieve. But you're right. It does have to come to, we have to get back to being productive citizens, right? And moving on with lives. We have people who are counting on us potentially, or we are counting on ourselves. We should be counting on ourselves. So for those who are in a cycle of grief, can you talk a little bit about a grief sharing? How might they find that type of a resource?
Fantastic question. So, Grief Share is a program. It is a religious, I believe it does have like a Christian base, but there's a lot of people who go through Grief Share who don't have any sort of faith or belief. A lot of churches, like my church, if you're in Charlotte, North Carolina, Rocky River Presbyterian Church has a phenomenal grief share program, and it's a pretty popular one. So I would Google grief share around me and see if there isn't a church or a community center that's doing it. They have specific programs, like the one that I'm facilitating right now is actually a loss of spouse. This is a little different. I didn't lose my spouse. I did, but I lost a pretend person, if that makes sense.
Right.
And so it's very important. I think it's very important to exercise the grief out and get it out. Talk it out. Find someone who has been through it or who is a good listener. I want to make a very important point that I don't think is known well enough. The human brain does not differentiate between physical suffering and emotional suffering. Your brain experiences pain exactly the same, whether you've been divorced or you've had your arm ripped off. Your brain, if you were to hook up a monitor to it, it would light up the exact same way. I say that because a lot of times we don't give emotional pain the credit it deserves, because it will bring you to your knees, and it can. I've had more, luckily, I don't know if that's a luckily thing, I've had more emotional pain than physical pain. I would say I've been in more pain that way. And we tend to not treat it the same, even in our own hearts, our own minds. So just that was a fact that helped me really embrace my pain, my emotional pain, and give it the credit it deserves. You need to feel it. You need to, just like when you have an injury on your arm, you have to give your arm the time to heal, to give your mind the time to heal. It's important.
That is so important. Thank you for sharing that with us, Haley, because I think somewhere long ago I'd heard something like that. But I do think it's such an incredibly important message. And two, and I've said this before too, on this on this podcast, and I'll continue to say it, the people around you and the messages that you are allowing yourself to be open to is so, so important. So if you don't have someone around you saying you need to give your time, yourself time to heal, and is not helping you recognize that, please take a note of that and find yourself a community of individuals who will help you in honoring that and making sure that you're taking the time that you truly need. Because depending on what our network looks like, right, if we surround ourselves with the people that we want to be like, which is what we're told to do, right, spend time with those that you want to be like, if we are shaping ourselves around a group of individuals who don't take the time to slow down, who are stuck in that hustle culture, right? And it's always about the grind, and we're always hustling, and we're always, you know, we're omni-channel entrepreneurs, and we're constantly trying to get to the next thing. And you have a group of individuals who isn't allowing their own selves the time to process their own pain and own hurt, they're never going to slow down to hold up that mirror, like, which is what you and I were talking about, right? So to help you hold up that mirror and tell you to push pause and That's make right. sure that you're checking in with yourself.
And listen, I can almost hear it from here in the future. I can hear in your head, people, there are some people saying to themselves, oh, no one wants to meet me. Nobody wants, I'm too broken. I'm too sad. My stuff's too much. I need you to listen to me. This is your fairy godmother talking to you. You are special. You matter. You think about, do the math. Do ancestral math. How many people had to live, breathe, love, and die to bring you, sir, ma'am, them into existence? Don't tell me that you do not matter. Don't sit there at home and talk to yourself and tell yourself a bunch of jerk lies. No. This is the internet. 60% of the world population uses social media. There is absolutely zero excuse for you to sit at home by yourself. So you matter. If you don't think you matter, you call me up right now and I'll be happy to convince you otherwise. Everyone's wearing an invisible sign around their neck that says, please make me feel important. Because we are important. We are important. Mom will tell you something. There is one thing I have observed that will determine people's resiliency, people's ability to move on in things and when life throws curves at them, right? Those plot twists. There, you fall into two camps, one of two camps. You are either a person where life happens, the rain falls on the good and the bad, or you are a person where life happens to you. And the rain falls on you. You don't want to be that person. There isn't some grand scheme out to get you. You're not persecuted. There isn't someone out trying to scheme and make sure you get all the red lights and you get the meanest person on the phone or the customer service agents. This is just life, baby boo. And I talk to people all the time in my business, in my life, of people who either fall in one of those two categories. And the people who say, well, that just happened. My car broke down, or I had an unexpected bill, because that's just what life happens. Those people deal with things a lot better, a lot happier. They can move on. It's not personal. But the people who life happens to them, everything is personal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it becomes really hard to move on in life, because if you take everything personally, you will be really sad. You will be unhappy. So if you identify yourself as in that second camp of life happening to you, the best answer for that is gratitude. And that's not a fun thing to have to say, but gratitude is the attitude, baby. If you start looking around and paying attention enough to your life, you will find reasons to be grateful. Mm-hmm. And that'll help you get into the other camp. Because then you start realizing there's a lot of other people around you that don't have it so good.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you so lucky? Because I've said this all the time. I say this to my nephews. I got 5-year-old, 7-year-old nephews. And they are always like, that's unfair. why are you being so unfair, Aunt Haley? And I said, good. Life's unfair, and thank God it is, because I know I don't deserve a good majority of the things that I've gotten in my life. So thank goodness it's unfair. Am I right? Yes. Can I get an amen?
Yeah, you can get it. All the amens. We call that grace, right? We call that grace when you get what you don't deserve.
That's right.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I love that. Thank you for sharing that. Amen. Amen. You'll get all of them.
I've been a youth director at the church for exactly a month now.
You have fully taken on that skinny. You have fully stepped into that calling for sure. I love it. I love it. So talk to us a little bit, Haley, about YAI. I know you talked a little bit earlier about the impact that you anticipate it's going to have, but how did it end up in your world, and why do you gravitate toward it so strongly to the point that you've now built a business or building a business around it?
Yeah, it's a great question. My first brush with generative AI was 2022 in the summer, and I had just found out about Midjourney, and this was like version 2, I think, and so they were good. They weren't like what you see now. And I found it, and I remember thinking, well, this is a really cool thing to show on dates or when I was out with my friends and be like, as a cool party trick. Like, all right, just give me an example of an image and I'll create it on my phone. Like, I remember thinking it was so cool. And then I found this book in November of that year, which is called What Makes Us Human. And it's written by Ian Thomas, Jasmine Wang, and GPT-3. This was a book that came out right when the commercial ChatGPT was available. And I found it, and it was fascinating because it asks these like really deep questions of ChatGPT. How do I find the motivation to carry on? How do I deal with evil? What is the greatest gift I can give to those I love? Like really big human questions. And I thought it was such an amazing idea to be able to pull on artificial intelligence, the bulk of human knowledge, all of our religions, all of our historical texts, literature, poetry, music, the things that we have created to define ourselves, hold up these questions to that giant mirror and then see what the result was. And the book is really phenomenal. I would definitely recommend it.
We'll make sure to put it in the show notes so they can find it, can link to it.
Being able to explore humanity, you know, forgetting his name, but there was a linguist, Noam Chomsky, thinking I'm saying his name. He says that our language is what is the essence of humanity. And so being a communications person, coming across ChatGPT, which is like essentially a way to talk to humanity, was very intriguing. And the things that I have discovered is that my natural ability to talk to people and that training of communications has made me an expert in talking to AI. Because if you can talk to humans and say, this is what I want, let me be very clear, then you're really far ahead with AI because you know how to talk to it. I was getting lots of questions from clients and friends because, of course, I was Googling and sharing all this cool stuff I was finding out, and became this person that people started asking questions around AI. And again, just that taking crisis comms, things that are technical and scary, and having to explain them and boil them down into snackable bits, it was a good transition for me. That, and let's be real, girlfriend. When I saw what ChatGPT could do in terms of the copy it creates, it isn't a replacement for me. I mean, come on. I've been writing since I could hold a pencil. So it's going to work a little harder to do that. It will eventually get there, though. This is the worst this technology is going to get. I don't think it's too much of a hop, skip, and a jump to think 5 years' time, we're going to have a Haley GPT, which means, well, do you need a Haley? Of course, the world needs a Haley. But my point is, I see my value proposition to the world changing once I saw the world changing.
Wow.
And I am in the world. I'm not of it, which means I got to adjust. It's not going to give me notice and say, oh, by the way, your skill set that you've made your career on is now becoming totally different because we have this new technology that can supplement it. So it was a little bit of job security interest, and I definitely just think a God thing all told, because I love it. You know, we went to that networking thing today, and one of the ladies was so nice. She said after I did my presentation, she's like, you can just tell you love this. I'm like, I do love this stuff.
It's the biggest compliment when someone says you can tell you love your work. Yeah.
Thank you for, yeah. That's the nicest thing to say, that my passion is evident. Well, my goodness. I'll pay you later. Thank you.
It is. And it is evident. And she's spot on. And I'm so glad that you addressed that, because we know, I mean, you can get out onto any LinkedIn article, right, that's around AI or anything that's posted on social. And the number one concern is, how is AI going to affect my specific job, right? Because of course we are human. And so our first instinct is to protect and guard and, you know, self-preservation, right? So anytime AI comes up in a conversation, the first question is, well, what does this mean for me? And what is the impact to me? And so I love that you're addressing this. And I love that your approach is very pragmatic. And it is this will never be human. It has tremendous potential. And I love that you use the word supplement, right? Because it can only enhance what we can do as people who are in the world, who are actually creating the connections between one another and can pick up on things that AI just cannot. And it doesn't matter how well you communicate with it, right? Because there are just some things that you have to touch and feel and be with, to get the true essence of. So that's fantastic. So tell us a little bit, Haley, about what does your world in AI look like today? Tell us a little bit about AI impact.
Well, last year, the business model was to do a large virtual event, which we had in November. We had about 200 people. We had 70 speakers from all over the world. And I was very intent on having this great virtual space where people who are new to AI and just wanted to talk about it could come together. And I'm so glad we did that. Since then, impact has evolved according to the needs of the groups that we serve. And the groups that we serve are the people building these tools, the developers, the project managers and marketers, the CEOs in the startup space. We support them with advice. We have a thing called the Impact Tester Club that we have a partnership with another business called Realm IQ, which is phenomenal. And essentially, they will come and say, we have an assumption we want to validate, or a product that we want to test on the market, or our product isn't doing as well on the market. We want to figure out why. Whatever their question, their problem they're trying to solve, they'll come to me. They'll sit with me. I'll sit and give them, all right, here, who are your ideal customers? I find out where their ideal customers are, recruit from that base of people. And then we have a listening session where they get to actually ask their representative ideal customer all the questions that they could want. And then we follow up that session with a report of recommendations and actions. That's one vertical. We also support other AI gurus, strategists, pioneers, people like me who go out to businesses and say, all right, here's AI. Here are some gaps that you guys have. We think that we could help give you a little more time back in your day, increase efficiency, whatever it is. And there's a lot. There's a whole cottage industry that's being created as a result of AI now, in people working with businesses and individuals to implement AI, because it's pretty cool stuff. Mm-hmm. And then the third vertical are parents, students, schools, organizations, universities who are grappling with, well, what do we do now with AI, and how do we put this into our institution? This is very disruptive technology. a lot of people are responding in different ways. Some institutions are doing this. Well, we're just going to pretend that we don't need it. It's fine. It'll blow over. And they're leaving their students, their faculty, their staff really behind and doing them a disservice. One thing I'll get on here all day, every day, and rail against are AI detectors. They are very poor. Mm-hmm. I hear students all the time who have been accused falsely of cheating because their professor or their teacher used a ChatGPT tester that gave them a false positive. I think it's way worse to accuse an honorable student of cheating than it is to let a cheating student get away with cheating. Because at the end of the day, who do they cheat? Themselves. That's it. Right. Yeah. And the reality is, in 4 or 5 years' time, people won't be writing essays without the assistance of AI. That would be like us writing an essay these days without the assistance of spell check.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Just wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be preparing these kids. There's a big social impact as a result of AI. So as a result of the work that I do, that I am helping people adopt this, I am implementing this, I have to do my due diligence and be a credible thought leader in the space, have the conversations about, well, what is the impact of AI on this, on the loneliness epidemic? That's where we have ethics roundtables. I have my great debate events where we literally sit down with two teams and we debate about, well, what do we think is going to happen? It's important as people within this space to be engaging. We cannot let Elon Musk and Sam Altman and the government, the world government, EU, US, UK, Australia, all of them, decide what is best. We need to have our seat at the table, right? They're going to do what they're going to do. Let's keep it real. They have billions of dollars. I can't compete with that. But if you think I'm just going to sit quietly and wait patiently for the Bond villain we never asked for to come in and decide how this is supposed to be, you got another thing coming. I'm going to do my part.
I hope and not just in AI, right? Not just in the space of AI, but you could take that really across any area in which the government is in charge of setting rules, regulations, guidelines, laws, whatever that may be, right? We could name a million of them. And maybe AI isn't your place of passion, but maybe it's child protective laws, right? Or maybe it's family laws, or maybe it's education, or maybe it's, you know, some other type of social impact. I think what Haley is saying is so spot on of we can't afford anymore to sit back and I don't know that we've ever been in a place of where we've just trusted our government. And for those seeing the video version, I'm air quoting here, maybe back at some point in time, you know, where we look to those people in office to say, oh no, they definitely have our best interests at heart. But I think we can all agree that that may not be true any longer. And so I think we do have to find that thing that gets you as excited and you feel as passionate about as Haley feels about AI. Those are the places that you have to step into and use your voice and use that in the way, you know, that you feel the most comfortable and that you feel like has true, authentic, genuine impact for you. But I love that message just in wholeness of you've got to step in there to the places that you know need help and need help moving forward in a more cohesive way, you know, for our world, especially, you know, knowing that our children are growing up in the time that they're growing up in. And to your point, AI is a great example of how their entire world is going to change. You know, we never thought we would experience a pandemic, right? So our children now have gone to, and has, thank goodness they are built as resiliently as they are, right? They just kind of rolled through it. And there are definitely some impacts on the backside of that. But for the most part, they seem to just roll through it. They're kind of like, okay, what's next? Well, this AI thing, I think, is going to be what's next. And it's going to change the way they do homework and how they're taught. And so.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, there's good news that, you know, no one's going to tap you on the shoulder and say, guess what? You have to get into AI now. Right? No one's going to force that on you, I don't think.
Yeah.
There's bad news with that, though. No one's going to tap you on the shoulder and tell you it's time to get up and get going.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get this question every now and then from people within corporate America who are like, well, I'd love to do AI, but my boss isn't training me and my boss isn't getting me these tools and my boss isn't making the time to prioritize this. Listen to me. Your boss should be doing those things. Your boss does not have to do those things. No one owes you an education. That is for you to decide that you decide you want. Mm-hmm. And that goes with everything in your life, whether it's AI or social media skills. It's on you. You cannot wait for someone to come around, your boss, your mentor, your parents, to say, open up. I'm going to spoon feed you what you need to know. So it's good that we have this permission to make our lives what we want it. I mean, I would rather have that kind of free will life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if a few years ago if I would have said that, but I do right. want that. But there's an obligation that comes along with that, that you owe yourself. And I see it complacency all too often within the corporate world, particularly of, well, I just need to wait for my boss to come around and decide it's time for me. No. You know, entrepreneurs don't have that. We don't get to be like that.
I was just thinking that. Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. Oh, that'd be so nice. To just decide, what am I going to have to do that, boss?
Now, yes. Yeah, to have someone pointing you in the right direction, telling you what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. Yeah, taking some of that pressure off. I was just thinking that same thing of, yeah, entrepreneurs, I feel like, are stepping into the space of how do we best leverage this, obviously in an ethical way, right? But to enhance resources, we were talking about that today in our networking conversation of it, this is a beautiful thing that we've been given. When used, I think as intended, to really enhance our ability as entrepreneurs to expand our reach, to make more of an impact, right? To get into the spaces and places that maybe we weren't able to before, or maybe to tailor messages in a way that we weren't able to before, because maybe we really just didn't have that skill set. We didn't have anyone on our network to help supplement that, right? So now we've got this amazing tool that we can lean on and leverage to help just enhance what it is we are already doing as the entrepreneur, right, to help move that vision forward. Where, again, coming just very recently out of corporate America, we had a company that had come in and did basically a time assessment, and they dug into every department. And that was the big conversation of, well, are they just going to tell us to build a bunch of bots to eliminate jobs? And that was the big conversation. And so the time, that it takes to curate that message and then to make the decisions around that message and then to figure out what is the true impact to our people in a corporate space when you have a company that's not built to be super agile, can be very detrimental when you need to be moving at a particular pace to keep up with what is going on in the rest of the market.
Being a small business or entrepreneur, individual, freelancer, even if you're an individual contributor, there are still ways to use AI to be more nimble.
Mm.
And, you know, without it generating everything, you can just have it repurpose some of your content. It's not actually having to create content. It can just repurpose what you already have. And there are things that we can do, we can experiment with as individuals or entrepreneurs that a corporate environment just isn't able to do that. They have compliance, they have risks, they have procurement. I don't know if anyone's ever had to go through a procurement process at any sort of corporate level. It is a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
And that if you have a Onnit team, Onnit procurement team, IT team that really cares about innovation.
Right.
And I'll tell you something that's kind of interesting. A lot of the AI roles are not going under IT. For the reason that IT departments are notorious for not being centers of excellence of innovation.
That's interesting.
They're cybersecurity. They're making sure that all of the doors and locks and windows are sealed so that no one can get in and out. And that's important. We're glad we have them. Mm-hmm. They are not exactly the same people to trust to take the mandate of innovation for your company. And so if you are in a corporate environment and you are a manager and you're trying to decide where should I put an AI individual within my company, do not put them in a team that will not appreciate innovation. You have to have both. Good businesses and corporations have that natural tension between the innovators and the rock solid people. If you have a bunch of companies of just me, we will drive off the cliff because we will always choose innovation over risk, right? You have to have a good natural balance. And so I'm not trying to poo-poo my IT people. If you're IT out there, I'm sorry. I love you. I don't mean to say you're not innovative. I'm just saying tendency, you got to look at what is the goal of this group within the organization. And if it's to protect, oh, damn sure telling you it is not to innovate. Those things are constantly at war.
Yes. Yeah, I've experienced that. You're spot on. You are spot on. And it is a delicate balance. Yeah, to try and continue to push the envelope and to stay relevant and to stay ahead of the curve, even if possible, which is really hard to do, especially in a larger corporation. And to find that safety, you know, to make sure that you're sound and safe and secure for customer base or member base or whomever that may be, employee base. So that's such a great call out. So Haley, if you could send a message or give the Haley of the time going through that time period of all of that change and transition, going through a really difficult divorce, finding out that the person that you were married to is not who they said that they were, dealing with a difficult boss, transitioning from corporate to entrepreneur, moving cities to cities. That's a lot. What would you say to her, or what piece of advice would you give her?
This too shall pass.
It's all temporary.
It's all temporary. And if you're at home listening and you are going through a hard time, I want you to hear me. The way you feel now is not how you're going to feel forever. It will get better. It might get a little worse before it gets better, but it does get better. And throughout the whole experience, there are a lot of times I said to myself, boy, I cannot wait to figure out why I went through this. I can't wait to figure out what that reason is. And I hate that there's a reason for everything. That gets in prosperity doctrine, which I think is a load of horseshit. So don't get me going down that road.
Yeah.
But, you know, you get to decide to put reason to your pain. I don't think there's a universal reason necessarily, because I think that's cruel. But I do think we all go through pain. There isn't a single soul in this world that gets out of life without singing the blues. We all got to sing it. You will get through it. You will. You're stronger than you think you are. You're smarter than you know you are. And it will pass. And you'll be better for it. Because I do think there is a degree of whatever doesn't kill you does make you stronger in the long run. Maybe not immediately. So this too shall pass. It will get better. And I don't think there's anything else. I think those are like kind of the main things. And just, it's okay to give yourself the day. It's okay if you need to just be in bed and cry. So
let yourself grieve.
And all those times that you accidentally burst out crying and grief ambushed you and you just were like standing in the CVS waiting for your prescription or whatever and you started crying, it's okay. Like, it's okay. The people that saw you didn't think you were weird. No one thinks you're weird when you cry out in public. They just pray for you or wish you well. So don't be embarrassed if you have to pray in public, because we've all been there.
I feel like there are going to be some people listening to this. I hope there are, because I'm one of them right now who feels so seen right now, where you found yourself in the most random, obscure, mundane moment having a full-blown meltdown. I was just trying to get a coffee, right? Or I was just trying to get my groceries. And I love the phrase grief ambush, because it can feel like that, where it completely unprompted, out of the blue, uncalled for, unnecessary, right? And it just completely overwhelms you. Yeah.
That's part of the human experience. I would say enjoy it because there are people who can't feel and they're unhappy.
Yeah.
I think it's harder to be happy and live a very fulfilled life if you don't allow yourself to feel it. So lean into it. I mean, this is just part of the human experience. And it will increase your empathy. My journey was rough, but having gone through it, I know I can handle some really tough crap. Mm-hmm. I have 100% track record for getting through bad days now.
It's great.
I know I can handle stuff. It's made me stronger, gave me confidence. And more importantly than that, I feel like I can talk to people who are going through it. And I can say, I see you, I'm here for you, and maybe give an ounce of comfort. Because I did have angels in my corner. People who just were very, very good and kind. I mean, in the middle of all of this, my car broke down in the middle of rush hour on a hill. And I did not know what I was going to do. I look up and there's this young man who's saying, no worries, I saw this happened to you. He pushed me to a safe space. I look up to say thank you and he was gone. I don't know if that was even a human being. I don't know. I'm sure he was. But I think that's a wonderful thing to be an angel to someone. That person was an angel to me.
Wow.
Saved me.
I have goosebumps.
So there are times. That's focus right. on just like what who's Will was it Will Rogers who had the neighborhood? Will Rogers' neighborhood? Will Rogers? Remember Mr. Rogers' neighborhood?
Yes. Yes.
He says this is something he got from his mom. When there was ever something scary on TV when he was a kid, a burning building or something, his mother would say, don't focus on the people running out of the building. Don't focus on the flames on the building. Focus on the people running in, the helpers. Focus on the helpers. Yeah. You can always find a shower of bastards if you're really willing to look for it, but I promise you, you will find angels. They are there. They want to do good things for you, and they're usually in the form of humans, I think. So that's our thing.
That's beautiful.
They're there. They're the helpers, and you'll feel better.
Yeah.
You will.
Gosh, and that's so true. And they're sent in the most in your time of true need. I have experienced very similar. Not necessarily exactly in the way that you have, because that's an incredible experience. That's an incredible story. I still have goosebumps over here. So Haley, and you've already given such amazing advice to our listeners today. I hope that they'll save this one and come back to it on the days where they're experiencing those grief ambush moments, or where they're questioning that calling, or whether or not they're going to get through whatever this transition or time of change is. But if there's one last piece of advice you could leave with our listeners today, what would that be?
You are your very best asset. You are the only person that will be with you from beginning to end. So make sure you like yourself. I'm not saying you gotta love yourself. A lot of people say that. At least just start off with liking yourself. So be patient. You are a human being. Watch what you're saying to yourself. Watch what you say to yourself. And a lot of the times, parents, you become the head voice in your child's head. So be thoughtful about the things that you say to others, especially children, because that thought voice, it determines so much your resiliency. It determines so much your mindset and how you feel and your confidence. And if there are times that you're not being kind to yourself, I want you to look into the mirror, even if you don't believe it, and for a week straight, just say, hello, you gorgeous beast. Whatever it is that will make you giggle to yourself, do it. You gotta like yourself. You gotta be patient with yourself. That's gonna be my advice. And if you don't think that you can, come meet me. Come find me. I promise I will find the things that are totally and utterly lovable about you. That's one of my skills.
I can attest to that. I can attest to that. So speaking of coming to find you, Haley, how can our audience connect with you after the show today?
You can connect with me on LinkedIn. You just go, it's LinkedIn and then the LN/HaleyComms. My name's Haley Wilson. There's a lot of Haley Wilsons, but my URL is HaleyComm, HaileyComms. You can also email me. I'm pretty responsive. HWilsonComms@gmail.com. And then if you'd like to go check out my website, it's Impact Innovate, AIMPACT innovate.com. I'm seriously trying to be a fairy godmother to anyone that will let me. I was raised in a very small community where when Miss Lib broke her collarbone, we were all beating each other up on our doorstep trying to give her a casserole. And that's that little bit of community culture I try to give in every interaction. I can't tell you how many times people say to me after two or third, four times after seeing me, they're like, oh, you mean it. Like, you really do love people. Yeah, I do mean it. I really do love people. I really do want to help. So if there's something, whether it's AI, whether you're going through grief or divorce, just trying to figure out what it is to be a human, please, I am your sister. Reach out. I'm here to help. Happy to do it. Thank you so much, Taylor, for having me here today. I just had a blast. You know, I love talking about myself. So this is all about.
Well, there's so much good content there. How could you not?
You're so sweet. I'll ping you later.
Haley, truly, I cannot thank you enough for coming and being on the show today. I think there are so many amazing pieces of information and guidance and support that you've offered to our listeners today. So I'm serious. Make sure you download this episode and come back and listen to this, because I feel like it's going to be one of those ones that you pick up something new every time you listen to it. And sometimes you just need a great voice in your ear to just kick your butt right into gear and to something to perpetuate getting out of that. You know, sometimes we throw the best pity parties for ourselves, and sometimes you need somebody to come in there and kind of kick you out of that. So I feel like this can be one of those episodes.
Well, you know, my grandpa, whenever he was plowing in the field, sometimes the wagon or the plow would get stuck in the rut.
Yep.
Do you know what happens when you get stuck in a rut?
Oh.
You know what you do?
Well, I would stick
some. You pick up and move over. You pick up, you make a change, and you go.
I love it.
So if you're in a rut, boo-boo, you got to pick up your plow and move. You can do it.
You can do it.
I'm so Southern.
I love it. You are. It comes out. I love it when it comes out. It's so good. Miss,
I can't walk into an old lady.
Miss, I miss San Diego. No.
I do fit in better here, I have to say.
I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you're physically here. I'm so glad you're in my sphere. I'm so glad to know you. I appreciate you so much. You've been such a tremendous supporter. You didn't really even know me, and you were already so like encouraging and willing to help. So when she says she really does care and she's very open to connecting and having a genuine conversation, she does mean it. I'm here to attest that. I'm not just saying that because she's on my podcast, but she's here because she is that person. She was that person for me. Otherwise, I wouldn't have invited her to come on. But just in such a short amount of time, I've been able to pick up just how genuine Haley really is and how much she really does just want to help, to be a helping hand or a helping voice or just an ear to listen. And so definitely reach out to her, connect with her, even if it's just to learn a little bit more about AI or just to talk about what it means to be a human. I think you'll be better off for knowing her. So don't hesitate to reach out. Haley, thank you so much.
Thank you. I had so fun. You're just the best. I just love you to pieces. You call me. I'm ready for our next lunch.
Hey, I'm down for food anytime. You just tell me when and where, and we're eating. Thank you so much for joining us for today's episode of Courage and the Calling. If you enjoyed the conversation, please make sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform. And if you feel led, please also share and leave us a review to help other friends find us. For more resources and deeper connection, please visit the website at courageandthecalling.com. If you or someone you know has navigated a big, scary transition and would like to share your journey, please email me at podcast@courageinthecalling.com. Remember, it's never too late to start again.